Thanks for tuning in to another situational report from SITREP Israel, providing automated situational updates covering security developments in Israel and the region. Updates weekdays at 9 a.m. and 20 p.m. Israel time. And now your host, Mr. Mike Radish.
I'm Mike Radish, an Australian correspondent based in Jerusalem, reporting for SITREP Israel. Welcome to another episode of SITREP Israel, an automated situational report covering Israel's security fronts. This SITREP was generated on Wednesday, the 6th of May, 2026 at 2042 Israel time, 1742 UTC. Trump pauses Hormuz escort as Iran talks advance. Hezbollah drones wound 3 IDF soldiers. Here is the bottom line. President Trump suspended the Project Freedom naval escort operation in the Strait of Hormuz on Wednesday, citing what he called great progress toward a U.S.-Iran agreement. He told PBS a deal could be reached before his visit to China next week, while also warning that if no agreement materializes, we will bomb them to hell. Iran's IRGC Navy signaled conditional restraint, stating safe passage through the strait will be ensured if aggressor threats are neutralized. On the Lebanon front, Hezbollah explosive drones wounded 3 Israeli soldiers in the south, and the IDF responded with strikes on 25 Hezbollah targets and evacuation warnings for 12 villages. A Washington Post satellite analysis revealed that Iranian strikes have damaged or destroyed at least 228 U.S. military assets across 15 Middle East bases since February, far exceeding official U.S. acknowledgments. And a joint World Bank, UN and EU report priced Gaza reconstruction at $71 billion. On the home front, the IDF Home Front Command will extend rocket warning times from 30 to 45 seconds for 46 communities in northern Israel, and to 60 seconds for 3 others starting Thursday. Across the regional picture, the diplomatic track with Iran is accelerating. Reports indicate the U.S. and Iran are working on a framework for talks expected to begin next week in Islamabad, a one-month process addressing Iran's nuclear program and sanctions relief. Key sticking points remain, including the duration of a uranium enrichment freeze, which sources suggest could run 12 to 15 years, and the removal of all enriched uranium from Iran. Iran's foreign ministry said its response to the U.S. 14-point proposal has not yet been delivered to Pakistan, while the Tasnim news agency reported the draft includes what are called unacceptable clauses. Parliament Speaker Ghalibaf said Iran has entered one of the biggest wars in its modern history and urged citizens to practice conservation. After talks in Beijing, Foreign Minister Arakshi said China agrees Iran has enhanced its international standing and appreciated China's 4-point peace proposal. Israeli political sources said Prime Minister Netanyahu is in continuous contact with Trump and that Israel was not surprised by the diplomatic moves. The IDF has been instructed to prepare for any scenario, including a return to fighting. IDF Chief of Staff Lieutenant General Eyal Zamir said the military has a series of targets ready to strike in Iran if the war resumes. In other developments, Iran submitted 35 documented cases of international humanitarian law violations to the ICC and targeted Kurdish-Iranian opposition groups in northern Iraq on May 5th and 6th. In Lebanon, the drone attacks that wounded the 3 IDF soldiers were part of a broader Hezbollah barrage. 2 drones detonated near troops, moderately and lightly wounding 2. A third soldier was seriously wounded in a separate drone strike. Another drone struck inside Israeli territory without causing injuries. Hezbollah claimed drone strikes on Israeli bulldozers and troop gatherings in several locations and released video purportedly showing attacks on Israeli forces and a follow-up strike during an evacuation. The IDF airstrikes on 25 Hezbollah targets included weapon depots and Israeli artillery shelled heights near Nabatieh. Lebanese reports said 4 people were killed in a strike near Al-Saksakia in the Sidon district, and an airstrike on Zalia in the western Bakar killed 4, including children. Hezbollah claimed to have confronted an Israeli advance from Wadi al-Raj, causing casualties and prompting helicopter evacuations. Haaretz reported on ongoing IDF demolitions of buildings far from the border, despite the ceasefire. And Israeli soldiers were filmed disrespecting Christian religious statues in southern Lebanon. Moving to Gaza, the IDF said troops killed an armed Hamas cell operating near Israeli forces in the north on Tuesday and later struck and killed 2 gunmen approaching the yellow line in a separate incident. Palestinian reports said Israeli aircraft struck a tent of displaced Palestinians in the Zaytun neighborhood, southeast of Gaza City. On the reconstruction front, that joint World Bank, UN and EU report estimated the cost of rebuilding Gaza at $71 billion, with over $35 billion in direct damage and more than $22 billion in economic losses. Most homes and nearly all businesses were destroyed. The UN Human Rights Office called on Israel to immediately and unconditionally release two global Sumud flotilla activists detained in international waters, stating that aid delivery is not a crime. In the West Bank, Israel is withholding approximately 14 billion shekels, about $4.8 billion, in tax revenue owed to the Palestinian Authority, pushing it and West Bank residents toward a severe economic crisis. Israeli forces detained four Palestinians after a settler attack on shepherds in the Masafer Yada area, south of Hebron. A Palestinian detainee was released after 22 years in poor health due to alleged starvation and mistreatment. On the multilateral track, Israeli President Herzog began an official visit to Central America, praising Panama's canal as an example of maritime freedom in contrast to the Strait of Hormuz. And in the United Kingdom, local elections could hasten the end of Prime Minister Keir Starmer's tenure amid the Epstein-Mandelson scandal and economic struggles worsened by the Iran war. Moving to the analysis. First, the trend. The tempo of direct Iran-Israel kinetic exchange has decelerated sharply, with no reported strikes on Israeli territory or Israeli strikes on Iranian soil in this window. The protagonist set has shifted from state-on-state exchange to a U.S.-Iran diplomatic track and a secondary Hezbollah-IDF front. The U.S. suspension of Project Freedom is the clearest signal yet that Washington is prioritizing a deal, while Iran's IRGC statement on safe passage suggests a reciprocal, if conditional, restraint. The Hezbollah front remains active but contained, with no escalation in rocket volume or range into Israel. On the information environment, the Trump administration is pushing a narrative of diplomatic success, framing the Project Freedom pause as a direct result of great progress in talks, while simultaneously maintaining a coercive edge with threats to bomb them to hell if talks fail. Iran's official media is amplifying the IRGC's conditional offer of safe passage, casting Tehran as a responsible actor that can secure the strait if aggressor threats are removed, a framing that positions Iran as the key to regional stability. Israeli official statements are notably muted, with leaks emphasizing Netanyahu's continuous contact with Trump and IDF readiness for any scenario, suggesting a deliberate effort to avoid being seen as spoilers. The Washington Post's satellite damage assessment, however, introduces a counter-narrative of significant U.S. military vulnerability that neither Washington nor Tehran is eager to highlight, and the synthesis. The Project Freedom pause is less a genuine de-escalation than a tactical timeout to test Iran's willingness to trade straight security for sanctions relief, while both sides reposition for the next phase. The U.S. is buying time to assess the true extent of damage to its regional bases, and the Washington Post report likely understates the operational impact, while consolidating a diplomatic coalition before Trump's China visit. Iran, meanwhile, is using the pause to reduce the immediate risk to its own coastline and to drive a wedge between the U.S. and Israel by demonstrating that it can be a responsible steward of the strait. A plausible counter-reading is that this is a genuine breakthrough toward a lasting ceasefire. However, the absence of any concrete Iranian concessions on enrichment or uranium stockpiles and the IDF's explicit preparation for a return to war suggest this is a fragile, interest-driven pause rather than a durable settlement. And to wrap up, the OSINT indicators and dual-lens predictions. Three things to watch. Check Flight Radar 24 for any U.S. Navy P-8A Poseidon orbits over the Strait of Hormuz in the 24 hours after the Project Freedom pause announcement to assess immediate ISR posture shifts. Review Sentinel-1 SAR imagery of Bandar Abbas Naval Base for changes in IRGC fast attack craft dispersal patterns following the escort suspension. And monitor the Telegram channel Middle East Spectator for posting cadence on unverified claims of Israeli covert action inside Iran, given the channel's role in surfacing such narratives during prior diplomatic windows. Looking at the predictions through a status quo lens. Within 48 hours, no resumption of direct Iran-Israel kinetic exchange will be reported by the IDF or IRNA. Before Friday noon UTC, the U.S. and Iran will announce a date and venue for formal negotiations, and within 72 hours, Hezbollah will launch no more than two additional explosive drone attacks on IDF positions in southern Lebanon. Now, looking at the same indicators through an escalation lens. Within 24 hours, the IRGC Navy will seize or harass a non-US flagged commercial vessel in the Strait of Hormuz to test the US response to the escort pause. Before the next US-Iran meeting, Israel will conduct a covert strike on an Iranian nuclear or military site, attributed by Western intelligence to Israel but denied by the IDF. And within 72 hours, Hezbollah will fire a barrage of over 50 rockets into northern Israel, triggering IDF Homefront Command shelter-in-place orders for communities beyond the immediate border area. That concludes this SITREP. For more, visit sitrepisr.com or subscribe on Telegram at t.me/Israel_SITREPs. This is Mike Redish, signing off from Jerusalem.